Graham, welcome back to The Full Story.
Hey, Noah.
So you recently participated in a bit of a lab experiment to test the human body's ability to withstand extreme heat.
Yeah.
What motivated you? What made you do that?
I'd heard a lot and even written a lot about the increased risk from extreme heat. We're getting more heat waves. Those heat waves are getting worse. They're coming along more often. We're getting more heat from them. It always comes with health risks, but they always felt to me a little bit out there, a bit abstract. And I just wanted to know what actually happens. But yeah, it was this idea that I wanted to know what it would be like to go for a walk in a heat wave of the future. But actually, in some places, it's a walk in a heat wave that's happening right now.
Mm.
And what better way than to subject myself to something which was not a lot of fun.
Okay, so tell me, how did you prepare for this experiment? How did it work?
So I found out about this laboratory at the University of Sydney and put myself through an extreme heat scenario and get my body wired up to see what happened. We based this on some unpublished modelling that has kind of looked at some of the types of conditions that we might expect quite soon, at about 2 degrees of global warming, which is only a decade or two maybe away.
Mm.
In the weeks leading in, I had to do a few things. So I actually put myself through a heart stress test first to make sure that I was going to be okay. That went well. And then when I get there, they put a chest strap on me. They put some little metal dots, stick them to parts of my skin to measure my skin temperature. The chest strap measures my heart rate. They weigh me. They weigh my water bottle. My core temperature gets measured by a thermometer that, I don't know how to put this, it was placed where the sun doesn't shine and it stayed there for the whole time. And that's probably as best as I can do if people are having breakfast. I'm sorry.
We'll leave that there. Talk to me about this thermal chamber that the experiment was conducted inside.
Yeah, so it's like the size of a really big bedroom, I guess. Can put things in there. So we put in a treadmill. They can control the heat and they can control, importantly, the humidity. So how much moisture is in the air when you're inside. It looks a bit like, if you've ever been inside a big walk-in fridge with those massive doors, it's got a really big, clunky, heavy door and you're sealed inside once you get in there. And they're using this to understand what heat does to the human body, what it does to young people, what it does to older people, what it does to elite athletes under stress, what it does to people's sleep patterns. And they can also run experiments in there where they look at things like, well, okay, if it's hot, what are the kind of interventions that you can make to ease the stress on the body? Like what do fans do? What about different clothes that you wear? How about the type of fluids that you drink? They can do all sorts of things. And really the practical outcome of that is they can come up with really good evidence-based information to help people to withstand extreme heat, hopefully.
Okay, so you went into the chamber twice, both on the same day but under different settings. Can you describe what it was like stepping into the chamber for the first time and what those settings were and how it felt?
Yeah. The first setting was 43 degrees centigrade and 18% humidity. So that is a feels-like temperature. You know those on your weather forecast where you get a feels-like temperature? That was a feels-like temperature of about that, of about 43, 44 degrees. And we came up with that because those are the kind of conditions that we will see a lot more of at 2 degrees of global warming in places like Sydney, Mexico City, Sao Paulo, places like that. And the door opens and I go in and I'm from Brisbane, right? I live in Brisbane. I'm used to humid weather, but this was something else. I am kind of immediately sweating profusely. I'm walking at a very, very slow pace, about 2 kilometers an hour, right? So it's barely a walk, but my heart rate starts to go up because my heart is now trying to pump blood out to my skin to try and keep my core temperature down. The other trick that this chamber has up its sleeve is that they have a bank of solar lamps which are designed to mimic full sun, because the temperatures that you get on your weather forecast, they're all done in the shade. And if you're in the sun, it can add quite a few extra degrees.
Mm.
So they turned the heat lamps on about halfway through. That was really not nice at all. I mean, I felt like I was doing okay. Then the lamps come on and the sweat on my skin starts to warm up. The whole thing's bleh.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned there that you were monitoring your core temperature.
Hmm.
What is core temperature and why is it important?
Yeah, well, so our bodies like to keep the same temperature inside. When we have a fever, our temperature goes up and we feel sick. So the body needs to keep the core temperature down. Usually it's sort of, I think it's, I'm not a doctor, but 37, 38 degrees is usually what your core temperature is, and your body likes to keep it that way. When people start to suffer heat stress and then ultimately heat stroke, core temperature goes up. And if it gets too high, up above 40 degrees, 40.5 degrees, that can be really dangerous. That can mean heat stroke. What tends to happen is your heart starts pumping blood to your skin. Then there's some low blood flow and oxygen that gets to your gut. So your gut starts to leak toxins. Then you've got inflammation in your body and you get organ failure, and it's awful. There is, of course, other stresses that extreme heat puts on you. It can, people with heart complaints, it can put extra strain on your heart. It can give you kidney failure if you're not drinking enough and you're out there for long enough. So there's all sorts of things. It can lower your blood pressure, make you feel a bit dizzy, can make you feel agitated. Yeah, so core temperature is key.
And that brings us to the next step of the experiment. You then turned up the humidity inside the chamber. Why and what did that do to your body?
Yeah, so we wanted to know the difference that humidity plays. A lot of people, I think, don't tend to appreciate how important humidity is in how you feel and how your body can cope with extreme heat. So, yeah, we doubled it. We got it up to 36%. That probably doesn't sound like a lot in value terms, but you've got to remember that the hotter the day is, the more moisture that the air can hold. So at 43 degrees but 36% humidity, that feels like temperature again. That's just over 49 degrees. Incredibly hot. I was sweating like crazy and it wasn't going anywhere. It was just sitting on my skin and then running down my nose. I didn't feel that I could stay cool. And then, of course, the heat lamps come on again and it gets insane. I feel like a piece of damp toast that's being cooked from the outside. It was yuck.
And what did the experts that were monitoring your core temperature and some of the other conditions in the chamber say was happening at that moment?
Yeah, well, so they're checking on me all the time. They're asking me how I'm feeling. They're checking my heart rate, which is going up all the time. It plateaued about sort of 145, 150. But towards the end of the experiment, I think I asked what was going on with my core temperature, and they looked and they said, oh, it's uncompensable. Now, I'd not heard that word before. I didn't know what it meant. Basically, my body was not compensating for the extra heat. So my core temperature was really slowly climbing and it wasn't plateauing. So that says that if I was there for a long time, and it would have had to have been hours, but my core temperature would have kept going up because my body couldn't do anything to cool itself down. So that was interesting because I wasn't really aware of that. I didn't know that my core temperature was going up. I knew I was bloody hot, but I didn't know that there was something inside that, had I not done something about that, I could have been in trouble. The other thing that was happening was there was a camera crew that came in and asked me questions, and Karishma from Full Story came in and asked me some questions. And at the beginning, I thought I was doing okay. I was making some sense and I was giving interesting answers. But near the end, I just couldn't think straight. And that's another thing that they're trying to find out with this lab is, what does it do to sort of our ability to make decisions, particularly for older people in extreme heat? Does the heat cause them to make bad choices and make bad decisions? And funnily enough, I then realized, once this had been pointed out to me, I realized then that I hadn't been drinking my water for about 10 or 15 minutes. So it did some weird things. When the experience is over, I'm super shaky. I feel quite dizzy. I go straight into the aircon. And I feel privileged that I could go into aircon. And then I start to think quite quickly, if you had a job somewhere that was outdoors, or if you were in a country where you couldn't get access to somewhere to cool down, like a swimming pool or an air conditioning. And, you know, I can see lots of scenarios where people would unfortunately put themselves at risk. And then we come to, obviously, the climate's role in this, because we know that we're going to get more heat waves, that they're going to happen more often. They might last longer. They are going to bring more heat. So that just all means more and more risk to people in places where they can get these high temperatures. And I found that quite worrying. And it did dawn on me pretty quickly after going through that this is a very, very real risk for millions of people.
We'll be right back.